We hear again a few of the verses from the appointed reading of Luke 15. But the older son answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And the father said to his son, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your younger brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." In the name of Jesus, amen. This is called the parable of the prodigal son, but we might also call it the parable of freedom from three bondages. Three bondages. The parable shows us these three bondages, that each of them bind us, and they bind each of us. Jesus, in telling the parable, is about the business of freeing us and all those who belong to him from bondage. John 8:36, Jesus said, "When the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Galatians 5:1, Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Jesus wants no one under any bondage at all. Three bondages that bind us. The first, we might call it the bondage of passions, or the bondage of our will. This is the bondage which seems like freedom when we're pursuing it, because it has us doing that, pursuing what we want, what we think will bring us pleasure, what will make us happy. This bondage of our will is the bondage which has the younger son coveting money so that he can despise his family and his father and gather all that he has and go on a journey to a far country to pursue a great time and fun living. This bondage to our passions has us searching out experiences to bring us pleasure, even when we know that the pleasure is artificial and fleeting. So Paul elsewhere lists such things as gluttony, drunkenness, out-of-place passions, laziness, sloth, apathy, greed, boastfulness, pride. This bondage of our will, that even when we run from it in our outward actions, it still lays in our hearts, so that we think that our happiness and our pleasure can actually be more important than our neighbor. From this bondage, Jesus frees us. He frees us by what does not seem like freedom. He stings us with a law. "Love your neighbor as yourself," says Jesus. With this judgment of law, Jesus accuses us of loving ourselves and being in bondage to our passions, even at the expense of our neighbor. Would one, after all, who loves his neighbor spend time in gluttony and drunkenness or sexual passions instead of working at a job to serve neighbor? Would one who loves neighbor be caught up in sloth instead of working to serve neighbor? Would one who loves neighbor parade his wealth or his accomplishments in front of his neighbor? Jesus frees us from bondage to our passions and will by accusing us with his law. With his law, he breaks us down so that with the younger son, we're finally able to say to the Father in heaven, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Luke 15:21. But then that is where we're then in the second bondage. Under the law's accusation, we now find ourselves in bondage to the law. We stand before the Father accused. Having been exposed in the bondage of our passions and will, we stand now guilty with no righteousness of our own. And along with that younger son, the yoke of guilt and shame is now thrown over our shoulders, the bondage of the law. So two bondages. First, the bondage of our passions, which drive us to look out for ourselves. Then the bondage of the law, binding us with guilt. Then there's the older son. He doesn't jump out as being under the bondage of passions. After all, he stayed home, and he's done what he's supposed to do. And he doesn't jump out as being under the bondage of the law. How can you be under the law's bondage if you've done everything required by the law? Luke 15:30. The older son answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends." Not seemingly under the bondage of passions, nor under the bondage of the law, the older son finds himself under the deadliest bondage of all, the bondage of self-justification. He justifies himself. He hears the law, but then he uses the law not to see his own sin, not to see that of which he has given repentance, but he uses the law to justify himself. See, your other son over there, father, the older son is trying to say, he is not righteous. He is guilty of not being a good son. So the older son is able to use the law to lodge the accusation. He's not making the accusation up. He is right. The law is always right. The younger son is indeed guilty of the law, at least apart from the father's forgiveness. So the older son uses the law to accuse his brother. In this, he is using the law to justify himself, since, after all, he has not done those things that his brother has done. This is what Paul tells us about the law in the letter he wrote to the Christians in Rome. This is what the apostle says that the law does to us. It either accuses or excuses. It either accuses us of our sin, which is what Jesus would have the law do, so that we then, realizing we cannot justify ourselves, will finally look to Jesus for his mercy and for his justification spoken by his word. Or, in our sinful flesh, we will use that same law to excuse ourselves. And the best way to use the law to excuse yourself is to turn the law on some other poor sinner and accuse him. Romans 2:15, Paul writes, "The work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness in their conflicting thoughts, either accusing or excusing them." So the other son uses the law to excuse himself by accusing his brother. He positions himself as one standing in no need of mercy, no need of forgiveness. When the older son uses the law to justify himself, that's when we hear the father say, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Luke 15:32. Do we catch what the father did here to the older son? We know what the father did to the younger son. That's easy. The one who was broken under the yoke of the law. The father forgave him. He showed mercy. He reconciled him. He restored him to the family. But now we catch what the father did to the older son. He said, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours." The father speaks so subtly, so kindly, that we might not even catch it. The older son thought that his status in the family was due to his obedience, to his service. Luke 15:29. The older son answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat." But when the older son appeals to his own obedience under the law and his service for his status in the family, that is, when he appeals to his own self-justification, that's when the father says those simple words, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours." Nothing in those words from the father, nothing about obedience nothing about the law, nothing about service, nothing about the worthiness or self-justification by works, only a kind reminder that everything comes not by works, not by obedience, but as gift from the Father. That's what this parable gives to us. Everything comes as gift from the Father. The Father wants no one under bondage. So the Father in heaven sends his Son to set the sinner free, so that when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. The Father sends his Son, and his Son, Jesus, speaks this parable to set us free from our bondages. The first bondage, the bondage of the younger brother, the bondage of our passions, of our will, Jesus sets us free from that by preaching to us his law, which accuses us and binds us in guilt and shame. Then that's the second bondage, the bondage of the law. Jesus sets us free from that by atoning for our sin on the cross, by speaking that atonement to us in the preaching of his gospel, so that hearing the gospel of all sin forgiven in Christ Jesus, we find ourselves justified not by our obedience, but by the voice of Jesus forgiving our sin. The third bondage, the bondage of the older brother, the deadly bondage of self-justification, Jesus frees us from that by proclaiming to us, as the parable's father did to the older brother, that we are not justified by our obedience. We will never be self-justified, but we are justified simply and surely by the voice of the Father telling us that all that he has, he gives to us. What he gives to us is his Son. His Son, who forgives the sin of our passions, who frees us from the bondage of the law, who justifies us by his word of the forgiveness of all our sin, so that we no longer need to pretend to justify ourselves. In the name of Jesus, amen.